This morning's scripture reading will come from Colossians 1, verses 9 and 10. For this reason, we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to ask you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you may walk worthy of the Lord, full pleasing him, bring fruitful in every good work and increasing to the knowledge of God.
Good evening, or good morning. I'm just moving on through the day, I guess. So, what's on my mind is the questions for the question and answer tonight. Can't seem to get some of them out of my mind. And so I went and checked the box just a little while ago to make sure there were no more questions in the box. Anyway, looking forward to answering those questions tonight. Some very interesting questions. I'll try to whet your appetite just a little bit. There's some interesting questions, so I hope that you'll be here for that. And this morning, I want to ask us a question. How is your interest? How is your interest? Well, first off, you might think, well, is he talking financially? I made some things, you know, move some monies around here lately, and the stock market's been a little volatile, and this has happened, and this has happened, so my interest is not where it should be. And I'm talking about, what are you thinking about? As mine was just a moment ago, still thinking about tonight. But how is your interest? Where's your focus? Where does it lie? Is it on spiritual things? Is it on worldly things? Is it on sports? Is it on shopping? Is it on God? Is it on Christ and his sacrifice as we've just partaken of the Lord's Supper? Did we wander in our mind for a moment, or were we truly focused? See, how our interest, when we answer that question for ourselves, how is our interest, we're going to find out that sometimes it's the case that our interest is not where it should be, not as it should be. And so I want us to ask that question, but here's a couple things to think about. When I think about the Apostle Paul, we've studied a great deal. We've been looking over the missionary journeys on Wednesday nights, studying the book of Acts. Paul wrote this in Romans 10 and verse 1. He says, "My heart's desire and prayer for Israel is that they might be saved." He had a spiritual focus on his brethren of Israel. He wanted them to be saved, so much so that he would say in another place, in Romans 9, he would say, "For I wish that I myself were accursed, if it was possible, for my brethren. If I could be cursed for them, that they might be saved according to the flesh," he says, "who are Israelites, to whom pertain the adoption, the glory, the covenants, the giving of the law, the service of God, the promises, of whom," he says, "are the fathers, and from whom, according to the flesh, Christ came, who is over all, the eternally blessed God. Amen." Where was Paul's focus? It was on Christ. It was also on his brethren of Israel who were lost, who had a zeal for God, but it was not according to knowledge. And we're going to talk about that in just a moment. The Apostle Peter wrote this, that God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Paul would write the same idea, that the Lord is not wanting any to perish, but that all would come to a knowledge of the truth. 1 Timothy 2 and verse 4. Jesus made this statement. He says, "The Son of Man came to seek and to save that which was lost." What's my point in that? Only to say this: there is great interest in you and me and the rest of the world from heaven above. Heaven has shown a great interest. And so much so, as we've just been reminded in partaking of the Lord's Supper, what that memorial helps us to remember those things that were done on our behalf, how much God truly loved us. And so because there's a great interest from above in you and in your life, the things going on in your life, the question again, how's your interest? You see, we admire those. We look around and we have those who have a great, strong faith about them. They're very active in their work in the kingdom, their life. They seem very happy and content. They seem like things are going well for them, spiritually speaking. You see them maybe up leading, and we admire those who have the ability to do so and the desire and the want to serve God in those ways. But we have, in numerous lessons already this year, we have studied and we have talked about the Ephesian letter, the Philippian letter. We've looked into Galatians a little bit, and we've noticed some things about the life of Paul in particular, about how even in Judaism, when Paul was still serving in Judaism under the law of Moses, he says this. He says, "You've heard of my former conduct or conversation, the way that I was living my life in Judaism." He says, "How I persecuted the church of God beyond measure." And then this phrase is found there. "And even tried to destroy it." Look at his zeal. How was his interest in godly things? Now he says that he had in all good conscience lived before God to that very point. He says, I advanced in Judaism beyond many of my own contemporaries in my own nation. Because why? I was more zealous for the traditions of my fathers. You look at Paul, and Paul had an interest in godly things. So much so that when the truth was presented before him, he struggled to even see those things. He was so zealous for the law of Moses. And so zealous, it says, for the traditions of my fathers, he says. We know Paul was a Pharisee of the strictest sect of the Jews. In Philippians 3 and verse 6, Paul says it this way, "Concerning zeal, persecuting the church. Concerning the righteousness which is in the law," he says, "blameless." Where was Paul's interest? How was Paul's interest? He had a high level of interest for those things concerning God. And certainly, that translated into having learned the truth, obeying the gospel, after having met Jesus on the road to Damascus, going and waiting there in Damascus until it was told what he was going to need to do. The preacher comes in and says, "Why do you tarry? Arise and be baptized to wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord." But we also find out that he had a work to do, and he was going to be zealous in that work. So much so, he says, "I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of Christ, of God in Christ Jesus." He says, "I'm pressing toward that mark for the prize. I'm pressing on. Nothing's going to stop him." In fact, in Philippians chapter 1, he would talk about that whether by my life or by my death, I'm going to magnify Christ in my body, in the way that I'm living my life. And he would say in Galatians 2 and verse 2, "I'm crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. The life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me." Look at his commitment. Look at his spiritual interest. Look at his interest in godly things. We can see Paul. We can admire Paul for his willingness to change, having learned the truth, and the zeal that he once had that so much took him to persecute the church. Now he was proclaiming the kingdom, the church. The Apostle Paul stands as a great example for us. Yet the reality is, among us, there is maybe a wide range of interest among us. Certainly there are those having a great zeal for God. They're attending services, they're making sacrifices, they're studying diligently, their prayer life is what it should be, they're teaching, they're inviting, they're involved in things, they're using their talents, they're doing all those things that you would expect an individual who has such a high interest in spiritual things to be doing. But the reality is, that's not everyone. There are those who become content with lukewarmness, maybe only worshiping on Sunday mornings, not attending any Bible classes, giving God leftovers, neglecting opportunities to study and to pray, and no personal work whatsoever is being done. There may be another group of people, those who have become completely cold, those who have forsaken Christ, not just the assembling together, but ultimately forsaking Christ. They've given up on the Lord. They've grown covetous with their time and with their talents. They're ashamed of Christ and His church. There are another group of people that maybe have struggled not so much with their faith, but with their health. And they have to work through those things and even work through the emotions of not being able to be as involved as they previously were. And what I always try to encourage people that find themselves in that situation is, look, that you're in a different season of work now. It's not that you cannot do any work whatsoever. You have to find your place in the kingdom now, in this new season of life, whatever it may be, whether it be temporary or whether it be just because of maybe age and failing health and things like that, that you have to find another way to work in the kingdom, another place to work in the kingdom. And so there is a wide range of interest. Yes, even here at Eastside, there are those who have, in some ways, maybe because of this past year and maybe because of some of the things that took place and are maybe not being able to assemble for a time and then not able to assemble here in the building, that is, during all of our services. And it took us a little while to have classes back and to be able to come back. And we're seeing that the majority of our members are back and are growing and doing well. But understand that during that time, it was difficult. I'll admit it was difficult for me. So let me begin with me. I know how difficult it was for me. And I was studying every week still to do lessons and things like that. So I can understand that there may be a wide range of interest. And maybe there were both hills and valleys of that, even through this past year. My question, though, is where are we now? Where are we at right now? My interest isn't what it should be. I need to repent. I need to make some changes. I need to do better and be better. So what does it take to maintain a high level of interest? That's really the question that we want to answer. What does it take to maintain a high level of interest? That's what we want to find out. We want to encourage one another in this. We want to do this work together, to be together. And the old phrase that was once used even as a campaign slogan, the no one left behind. No one left behind. When you think about that idea, that means our young people, our older people, our middle-aged people, our folks that find themselves somewhere in between, trying to figure it out, where they fit in exactly. And I'm grateful, and I know you are too, that this year already looks different than it did this time last year. But I have to move on beyond that, learn the lessons from it, grow from it, and I got to get back to a high level of interest in spiritual things. We cannot continue to let last year continue to drag us down and keep looking back at those things and say, well, man, last year was just hard, wasn't it? It was just tough. It was. It was for everybody, right? So what will it take to create a high level of interest and to maintain that high level of interest in the work here in the kingdom, here at Eastside, and in our family's work in Christ together? The answer is found in our text. Let's go back to Colossians 1, 9 and 10. Colossians 1, 9 and 10. Paul says, "For this cause, or for this reason, we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of His will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you might walk worthy of the Lord." He says, "unto all pleasing," or fully pleasing Him, the New King James says, "being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God." Now, you can continue on in that and you'll find other phrases being used: being strengthened according to His glorious power, having all patience, long-suffering, and joyfulness, and giving thanks unto the Father. You can go on through that prayer and there's many lessons to be learned, but I want us to notice a couple of things here. Paul prays for these Colossian Christians, in which he mentions three things, I believe, that contribute to a high level of interest: desire, fervor, zeal, that interest. Those things that contribute to that. So notice what he prayed for. Number one, that they would be filled with knowledge. They would be filled with knowledge. I want you to understand that knowledge itself, in a particular subject, topic, whatever the case may be, increases interest. It is a natural thing that happens. The more you know about something, the more interested you become in something. Sometimes it's the case that I think I might be interested in whatever this is, and I do a little bit of research. I get on the computer, I start Googling this. I get on Wikipedia and I find out some background of this, and I find out, hey, I do have an interest in this. I want to know more. It begins to build interest in that, maybe whatever it is. And knowledge of a subject then always increases interest in that very subject. And of course, from there, it has little fingers maybe that go off into other areas. But with every subject, this is the case, whether it be something about sports, or a hobby that you have, or so maybe working on cars, or being outdoors, learning how to tie a knot, learning how to cook, any number of things. The more you know about something, the more interest you begin to develop in that. And so knowledge of God's will increases interest in God's will. The Colossians, we find out, look back at verse 6, they bore fruit in response to their understanding of God's grace. Verse 6, he says, "which has come unto you, as it is in all the world, and bringeth forth fruit, as it doth also in you since the day you heard of it and knew the grace of God in truth." What is he talking about? Well, in verse 5, he had said, "you heard before the word of the truth of the gospel." You heard that which has come unto you. And what did it do? It bore fruit in you. It was increasing in them. The more we learn of God's will, the more excited we typically become of those things. Psalm 119 is a marvelous study just all on its own. Psalm 119, just a couple of verses. Verse 111, "thy testimonies have I taken," it says, "as a heritage forever." This is after already talking about the law and the testimonies and the covenant and all of those things that the psalmist just loved dearly and has taken part in and grown in. And he says, "and I take that as a heritage. It's part of my life. It's who I am." In verse 162, he says, "I rejoice at your word as one that findeth a great spoil," the spoils of victory. He's come to a point, and maybe sometimes, you know, studying can be a battle. I don't know if you've ever experienced this. Sometimes working through a passage of Scripture is difficult. There's defining of words. There's looking up the context and the background of those things. Who's writing? Who is it written to? All of those things, answering those questions, trying to put it all together, and then trying to make make some sense of it, and then trying to turn that into an application. And so sometimes we're struggling to get through that. But when you get there, it's like victory, right? And the psalmist says, I rejoice as one who finds great spoil when I've studied your word, for they are the rejoicing of my heart. 164, he says, seven times a day do I praise thee because of thy righteous judgments. I ask you this, and this psalm is attributed to David. David seems to have a high interest in God, doesn't he? Why is that? Well, when you read Psalm 119, it's directly related to his word and studying it and meditating upon it and growing in it. It has built a high level of interest in those things that are spiritual for him. And so obtaining this knowledge, we know, is going to require some effort. It's going to require some diligence on our part. But it brings even more interest when we do. Number two, in Paul's prayer, notice that his desire was that they would walk worthy of the Lord. He says, my desire is that you would walk worthy of the Lord. And so to knowledge, we add participation. You see, participation increases interest. When I participate in something, this is true of so many things. You think about sports. It's one thing to be a spectator. It's one thing to maybe turn on the TV and watch a PGA tournament. And I'm sitting there and my head begins to nod. Now, I love golf, but watching it, I struggle. I want to be out there on the greens myself. I want to be out there playing. I sometimes go down a YouTube rabbit hole, so to speak. This happens to me. Cindy can attest to this. It's on things that interest me, whether it be camping, whether it be Jeeps, whatever the case may be, whether it be hearing other sermons that are being preached out there, whatever the case may be, wherever my interest is for that day, and I'm stuck on those things. But you know, I don't want to just be a spectator. I want to be a part of it. I want to be participating in that. It's the same thing, though, when years ago, I remember, I thought I wanted to play football. And my dad agreed to let me try out and play football. I was a little guy at the time. I've grown a little bit, but I was a little guy back then, really little, skinny guy. And I soon found out that was going to be difficult. But you know, the more that I played, the more interest I had in football. And now I can turn on football and I have an interest in it. But it's not like it was when I was playing it years ago. Any sport might be the same way. Any hobby we might have. I like to watch cooking videos, but you know, I'd rather get into the kitchen and start trying to do that myself. That's the reason that I watch the cooking videos, because I want to participate. You think about that for just a moment. The more you participate, the more you want to do. Nobody wants to sit on the bench. Nobody wants to sit on the sidelines. And having an opportunity to participate just makes you want to do more. That's the natural course of those things. And I get that sometimes we need a rest. Maybe we've been teaching for a while. We've been participating. And before burnout sets in, I need a rest because I love what I do. I love to teach. But I need a moment so that I can rest up my mind, prepare maybe for another class, and get ready for that. And I look forward to that. It's the same with anyone. Sometimes we have to take a rest. But just let it be a rest. Let it be a quick moment of rest and get back to work. Because what happens so many times is we sit down to take a rest and a nap turns into a long night's sleep. And then we're not active. We're not participating. And my interest in those things just kind of wane just a little bit. It's the same with God's Word. How the more that I study it, the more that I apply it, the more that I learn and have that knowledge, the more that I begin to teach and apply those things in my own life and help others see that application and that participation, that continues to grow interest. There's a blessedness that comes about with doing God's will. In John 17, verse 13, I don't know how many times I've read through John 17, but I've seemed to overlook this passage all those times. But in John 17, verse 13, Jesus makes this statement. He's talking about, "These things I speak in the world, that they may have," this is what I've missed, "my joy fulfilled in themselves." Jesus says that they would have these things that I'm speaking, that they, for the purpose of, that they would have my joy fulfilling their lives, fulfilled in themselves. That's what he's saying. In James 1, verse 25, "But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it, not being a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work." You see that participation? That's what's expected. That knowledge. "But then, not being a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this one," he says, "will be blessed in what he does." Happiness comes to those who walk in the ways of the Lord. Psalm 119 again, verses 1 and 2, this is how it starts. "Blessed are the undefiled in the way, who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are those who keep his testimonies, who seek him with the whole heart." Why? They're going to be blessed if they're seeking God. How are they going to seek him? How are they going to find him? It's going to be through his testimony, through his word, through those things that are written. And in so doing, he says, you're going to be blessed. And I would add to that, blessed with an interest in spiritual things. A high level of interest. So number three. Any labor that we do, we need to be reminded that it will not be in vain. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 58. And that leads to this third thing that Paul mentions in his prayer for the church at Colossae. And that is bearing fruit. Verse 10. Bearing fruit will lead to a heightened interest in the Lord's work. We might call it success. Success. You see, success breeds success. Success increases interest. You see, when I fail at something, I start to lose interest in it real quick. You're probably the same way, right? But when I'm successful at something, I'm hooked. I'm hooked on it. I want more and more of it. Success does that for us. If we engage in activities without any success, then discouragement sets in, disappointment sets in, and we will stop that activity before long. And failure to succeed has led many to lose their interest in spiritual things as well. But remember, it began with a knowledge, and that led to interest. It began with participation and building upon that knowledge. That was building interest for us. And in so doing, we will find success. And it will increase our interest. Bible study. Again, this is all tied to that knowledge. It's all tied to what the psalmist David was writing in Psalm 119. Learning the meaning of a passage, and it just makes you want to learn that much more. Personal work. Seeing the lives of individuals make changes. Take steps toward God. Obeying the gospel. There is nothing like it. to have some small part in it, even in teaching, or maybe just encouraging, or maybe just saying a kind word at the back door to a visitor who's been coming and then has been learning the truth and now baptized into Christ. And you've had some small part in that. That's success. Seeing people change their lives, that's success. And that builds that interest. We want to see more of that, right? We're hooked on it. It's something that we want to see. It's something we want to be a part of. Personal edification. Helping individuals, even after they've taken those first steps in obeying the gospel, they're a babe in Christ, but then watching them take those next steps, where eventually they're sitting in a Bible class somewhere and they're the teacher. Or maybe somewhere years down the road, they're serving as an elder in the Lord's congregation. Maybe they're getting up to preach their first sermon. Maybe they're walking a young person to class. There's any number of things that we can be involved in and participate in. And using our talents to do that is required of us. But those things sometimes have to be developed. And so what I mean by personal edification is helping those individuals to get there, to see that growth, take those next steps, not just leaving them once they've come out of that baptistry and we've hugged their neck and we've told them how wonderful it is and we rejoice with them. And then we say, well, be warmed and filled. Hope everything works out okay for you. And leave them to themselves. And we've got to jump in and we've got to help them. Because we understand that maybe they're not at the faith level that I'm at. But I can help them get there. I can encourage them. I can teach them. I can study with them. Many lose interest because they've never tasted the joy of success. This congregation has seen success. So I know that you've tasted that. So again, the question, what does it take to maintain that high level of spiritual interest? Knowledge, participation, success. It breeds interest. And interest is catching. It'll spread faster than the coronavirus. Is that too soon? I had to throw something out there about it. It'll spread through the congregation like a wildfire. Find your place in the kingdom. Find a work which you could be involved, where your talent can be used to glorify God, to magnify His name, to help to grow His kingdom, to help encourage another soul, find Christ, to maintain in Christ, to be faithful, to grow, help them find and use their talent. We all have a work we can do in the kingdom. I want you to know this, we are in this together. It's a phrase that was used last year, but it has great spiritual significance for us because we are in this together as the family of God here at Eastside, as part of the kingdom of God. And we want to work together and we want to grow together and we don't want to leave anyone behind. So let's maintain a high level of interest so we get the work done and we can see the success that God will give His increase to all the work that we might be able to do to the glory of His name. Let's begin by making sure that we ourselves have obeyed the gospel. by believing in Jesus as the Son of God, John 8:24. Repenting of sin, Luke 13:3. Confessing our faith in Christ, Matthew 10:32-33. And being baptized to wash away our sins, calling on the name of the Lord, Acts 22:16. And then maintaining our faithfulness to Christ, to His church. And that means even locally. We place ourselves under an eldership. Have you ever wondered why Paul and his missionary journeys would go back through these cities and establish elderships? Because they were overseeing those congregations. They were watching for the souls of those congregations. And we're told to obey those that have the rule over us, Hebrews 13:17. So this morning, if you have a need, maybe it's your level of interest, know that we're here to help. We're here to encourage. We'll pray for you. If you're ready to obey the gospel, we'd love nothing more than to assist you with that. The water is ready, and we're prepared to help. If you have a need, come to the front while we stand, while we sing.